Today I'm not going to speak on that parasha. I'm actually going to speak on Hanukkah to give you some idea of what Hanukkah is about. Now, Hanukkah is an eight-day Jewish celebration and commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem during the second century before this current era, where according to legend, and I have to emphasize that, it's legend, Jews had risen up against the Greek-Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean Revolt. So Hanukkah, which means dedication in Hebrew, begins on the 25th of Kislev and on the Hebrew calendar, and this usually falls in late November, early December. Now, the Jewish people today take the beginning of the month from the black of the moon, or the conjunction of the moon. We actually take it, according to what the scriptures say, from the sighted moon. So because the moon was sighted 2 days after they started their actual day, when the Hebrew people had their celebration on Thursday, if they waited till Friday, when it was the 25th of Kislev, we wouldn't have had a thunderstorm. Perfect weather last night. And so you'll always find that our days are a couple of days, 1 day, sometimes 2 days, different from when the Hebrew people, the Hebrew calendar. But we do it according to the scripture, not according to tradition. And that's the most important thing, is to observe the scripture and not the traditions of man. Now, this whole celebration is tradition. It's all based on legend. So how you do it is up to you. You don't have to follow the rabbinical law. It's also called the Festival of Lights, purely and simply because we light the lights every night. And it's a time to rededicate ourselves to Yeshua. There's also traditional foods that are always eaten and games that are played. And I did leave my dreidel behind, I'm sorry. And the children play dreidels, are probably inside playing dreidels at the moment. And I left my dreidel behind. But it's a time of fun. It's a time of enjoying time together as a family, and it's a time to rededicate our life to Yeshua. Everything done during this time is purely, when it's done according to the Jewish way, is purely tradition. So I believe that how you commemorate it is entirely up to you. And for this reason, I'm going to give you my personal account, not a Hebrew doctrinal account, but what I like to do. It's during this festival, this time of dedication, that I remember not just the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, but it's also an ideal time to rededicate my life as a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, to rededicate myself to him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. It says, don't you know that your body is a temple, I like to think tabernacle, of the Ruach HaKodesh who lives inside you, whom you receive from Elohim. The fact is you don't belong to yourselves. I personally think of a temple as a place of idol worship, and I don't worship idols. I hope I don't set myself up as an idol, because if I put myself first, that means I'm idolizing myself. But I like to think my body as a tabernacle of the Ruach HaKodesh, a place where Yah can tabernacle and speak to me and be in me. So as the scripture says, we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Elohim. Therefore, as I light my candles each night, it's a time to pray a prayer of dedication. The candle used to light the menorah. Now, this is my menorah. And this, you see one candle is raised above the rest. That's what they call a shemash candle. Now, shemash is the Hebrew word for servant. And we all know that Yeshua came as the suffering servant. So you use that candle is always lit on every night. And we use it, and it's a symbol of Yeshua. You don't necessarily have to use that candle to light all the rest, but you can if you want to. My candles are such that the top of the Hanukkah is so wide that my candles fall over. So I have to burn the end and let some wax fall in the bottom to hold it there. For that reason, I can't use that one when they're all lit to get that back in there, otherwise I burn myself. So I don't always use that as the first, as the candle to light the others. If you wanted to follow tradition, that's the way you would do it. But we don't follow tradition. I don't believe in tradition. I believe in following the word of Yah. So Yeshua is represented in this candle. Every time we light him, he's raised above everything else, and that is Yeshua. It's the one we focus on most of all. Can we go to Matityahu chapter 12 and verse 18? It says, "Behold, my servant in whom I delight, my beloved, for whom my soul has longed. I shall put my spirit upon him, and he will preach judgment to the nations." Yehovah called Yeshua his servant. So when I light my first candle, which is used to light the remaining candles, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't, I remember Yeshua who came as a servant. It's also a reminder to me of what he did for me. He suffered for me. He gave his life for me. He died so that I could live. It's also a reminder to me that I must be a servant of Yehovah to those with whom I'm in contact with. People see me vacuuming the floors at the end of Shabbat and say, "Give it to me, give it to me." And I said, "No, I like doing that. I'm the servant. I don't come. I'm here to serve you. I'm not here for any other reason." Therefore, and I do, I literally do enjoy watching the dirt come off the floor. That gives me release from speaking to everyone. Sometimes I can be speaking here all day, and I finish here and we go schmooze time, and I'm still speaking and still answering questions. And being ASD as I am, it's time for me to just get in myself and just calm down from all the things that are going around in my head from all the speaking. And so I vacuum the floor to get everything out of my head so I can just be me. And that's a release for me. And so many people try and take the vacuum off me. I'm not saying, no, I don't want you to do anything. It's just that that's my time. I've given and given and given all day. And so sometimes I need just that little bit of time for me at the end. Like this morning coming in the car, I had to say to Malachi, "Please don't talk on the way. I just need time. I just need to, you know," because Malachi loves talking, and that's wonderful. And, you know, he does, and I love him. But the point is that sometimes I just need time with no talking. And so I have to ask, and he's very good. He just doesn't talk. So Yeshua suffered for me. It's a time when I light these candles when I can think of all the wonderful things he's done for me. Because you see, I can praise him. Hanukkah is a time of celebrating a miracle. And I can praise him for all the miracles in my life. Malachi is one of those miracles in my life. And I like to praise him for all the miracles that have happened to me in the past year when I light my candles. And it's amazing how when you light the candles that you don't get over it all in one night. We've got more nights to do it, and he rings up more things each time you light the candle. So it's really amazing. And one of the things I truly enjoy is watching them burn. Just that little light flickering. I have to make sure that the doors are closed and so there's no draft coming in, but I just love watching it. Yeshua himself said in Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 12, And Yeshua spoke again with them, and he said, I am the living Elohim, the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall find the light of life. So in this festival, we can be his light, as shining for Yeshua did within each of us. We can be a light to the world, to those around us. As we light the candle each day, it can be also used as a family time, especially if you've got children or grandchildren at home or people visiting. It's a wonderful time to have people over during this festival season for a meal, and then to light the candles when it gets dark and have each one share. And on a miracle, give thanks and praise for the miracle that has happened to them, and in helping them rededicate their lives afresh to Yeshua. And even if they don't know Yeshua, they can still give thanks for something that's happened that year. You know, they might have had the miracle of a birth of a baby. They might have had a miracle in finances. They might have had anything. There's miracles happen on our lives all the time that we can thank him for. And we, you know, instead of looking on the bad things, and there have been a lot of bad things that have happened this year, we can still look at the good. And we can still thank him. If children are taught, and this is why I say with your grandchildren, if children are taught from an early age to look for the blessings in their lives and to give thanks for those blessings and to praise Yah for them, they're going to be totally different in adulthood than if they have never ever received any of that instructions. You see, what that you've instilled into them as a young child is something that you can't take away. It's always there. Even if they go off on their own track somewhere later on down the track and they go off on their own way, their own road, they've still got that in the back of their minds. It's still there. It's when I gave my children, the children they dealt today, you know, when I was their age, that's what my grandfather would give me and said, now make it last 8 days. I haven't forgotten. You know, that was 60, nearly 70 years ago when I can first remember him giving it to me. So it's a time of remembering what's happened in your year and giving it praise to Yah. It's a time of dedication. It's a time of rededicating your life, your soul, which is your mind, your will and your emotions, to Yehovah. It's a time of cleansing out the tabernacle where the Ruach HaKodesh resides and rededicating it afresh to Yehovah. So it needs to be personal. So your praise might go something like this. I praise you, Yeshua, that through your blood my sins are forgiven. I praise you that through your blood I'm justified and I'm made righteous. I praise you that I'm holy, I'm set apart unto you. I praise you because of your blood I've been sanctified. Just simple scriptures that you can use to praise him, to thank him. You don't have to make things up. Use the scripture. Let the scripture speak for you. Then you can praise him, and this is what I love doing, through the multifacets of who he is. When we think of Yehovah, what do you think? I think of all the names that he has. So I might praise him like this. I praise you that you are Yehovah Yireh, my provider. You know all things and you've made provision for them. I have lived this year in abundance because of your provision, and I thank you for that. Yehovah, I praise you for your divine healing in my life, because you are Yehovah Rapha, Yah, my healer. I thank you that you are Yehovah Nissi, Yehovah, my banner. You protect me, you are my banner of protection against all of the enemy's attacks, and I give you the glory for that this year. I praise you, Yehovah, that you are El Shaddai, Yehovah Almighty, the source of strength, the creator of bounty. I praise you that you're the all-sufficient one, that you're more than enough to meet my needs in any situation. Then I might mention how he met my needs throughout the year. I might say, Yehovah, I praise you that you are Yehovah Shalom, because you send me your peace. I praise you that in the midst of conflict and turmoil, no matter what's going on throughout the year, you've helped me maintain my peace. And one thing I really like to do is I like to praise him through his word, Yehovah Roi, Yehovah my shepherd. Because Yeshua is known as our shepherd. It's another name for Yeshua. It's an ideal time to use Psalm 23. You can open it up and then you can personalize it. I love personalizing the Psalms. I personalize them every day. I read a Psalm every day and I personalize them every day. It's something I love to do. So Psalm 23 might go like this. I praise you, Yeshua, that you are my shepherd and I do not want for anything. I praise you that you cause me to lie down in green pastures, that you lead me beside still waters. I praise you that I'm allowed to rest in you. Because where the pastures are green and lush, where the waters are still, there's no turmoil. We are resting in him. I praise you that you restore my soul, that is my mind, my will and my emotions, that you guide me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And I praise you that even though I might walk through the shadow of death, I won't fear evil, because you are with me. You comfort me and you protect me. And you are always with me. You said you will never leave me or forsake me. I praise you that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I thank you and praise you that you anoint me with oil, because my cup runs over with your abundance of loving grace, of your mercy and of your kindness. I praise you that you, Yehovah, that only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I praise you that I will be dwelling in your house one day forever. And it's just a way, and then I say amen. And so it's just a way of using the Psalms, and it's a way of when we light these candles, we're thinking of who he is, what he's done for us, and giving him the glory. We also then like to acknowledge Yeshua and give thanks to him for what he's done. That was just the praise part. Then we've got the thanks part. And so over 8 days, it's not hard to spend time, because it takes an hour for the candles. One of these candles, it takes an hour for them to burn. And I love watching them and using that time to praise him and thank him. So I thank you that I'm righteous through your name. I thank you, Yeshua, that I'm saved through your name. Yeshua, I thank you that I have eternal life, that I will never perish. Yeshua, I thank you that you are in me. Yehovah, I thank you that you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and that's Yeshua. I thank you that my body is a tabernacle for the Ruach HaKodesh, and my soul, my mind, will, and my emotions are your sanctuary. I thank you that Ruach HaKodesh witnesses with my spirit, and that I'm a child of yours. And because of my covenant relationship with you, I can pray Abba or Daddy. I thank you that through Yeshua, I'm a joint heir of yours. I thank you that through Yeshua, I'm born into your family. Yehovah, I thank you that I thank you that I have everything through Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you that I'm sanctified and justified. I am holy and set apart because you are holy through Yeshua HaMashiach, because of the covenant relationship with me and my obedience to Torah. I thank you, Yehovah, that I have a better covenant built upon better promises. I thank you that I'm an heir to all the promises. And I thank you, Yeshua, that you've taken away my sin and that you remember my sins no longer. It's not a time for repenting of sin. We've done that before we do this. You repent of your sin before you light your candles. This is after. I thank you that I've set apart, that I have been set apart in love, and I thank you that I now have redemption through the blood of your Son and the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of your grace. I thank you, Jehovah, that your grace and mercy are extended towards me. I thank you that I've received the very life of Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you that I have been raised up with him and am seated or living with him in the heavenly sphere. And I thank you that I'm protected against the attacks of the enemy. I thank you and praise you that your word has set me free. That's just a snippet. There's just so much we could go on with in what we can thank him and praise him for when we've lit our candles. We can thank him for the promise that he gave us out of John 8:32 that says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And verse 36 says, so if the Son frees you, you will really be free. It is only by his word that we can be free. It is only by acknowledging Yeshua as our Messiah and acknowledging him as that suffering servant who came and died for us. And we can use Hanukkah as a time of rededicating our life to him. And I want to do that before we start our remembrance service later on today when I'm finished my drash. I want to sing that song again. Would you like to sing it again, that Hanukkah song, before we do the remembrance service, just like a rededication time? Now I'm going to go on to the history of Hanukkah and the legend of Hanukkah. And the events that inspired Hanukkah took place during a particular turbulent time in Jewish history. It happened around, we don't know exactly what year, but it was around 200 before this current era, in Judea, also known as the land of Israel. And it came under attack of Antiochus III, the king of Syria, who allowed the Jews who lived there to continue practicing their religion. Then his son Antiochus IV of Epiphanes came along, and he was less benevolent to his father. Ancient sources recount that he outlawed the Jewish religion and ordered the Jews to worship the Greek gods. So by about 168 before this current era, his soldiers descended upon Jerusalem, massacring thousands of people and desecrating the Holy Second Temple by erecting an altar of Zeus on the altar and sacrificing pigs within its sacred walls. Now there was a priest in that time by the name of Mattathias, and he had five sons. A large-scale rebellion broke out against Antiochus and the monarchy, and this was supposed to be 25th of Kislev, 168 before this current era. We don't know for sure. But this is why 25th of Kislev, which is usually always in December, was formed. So when Mattathias died in 166 before the current era, his son Judah, known as Judah Maccabee, or the Hammer, took the helm. Within 2 years, the Jews had successfully driven the Syrians out of Jerusalem, relying largely on guerrilla warfare tactics. Now, Maccabee was not the surname of Judah and his brothers, because then in Hebrew, you're always Ben something. So Judah would have actually been in Hebrew Yehuda ben Mattathiah, but he was called Yehuda, son of Mattathiah. But he was called Maccabee. And in Hebrew he was also known, the name Maccabee was actually an acronym. The Maccabee was the warrior nickname of Judah, and its acronym, which is Mem Kuf Beit Yod, which means In Hebrew, Mika Moka Be Alim Yehovah. Now you sing Mika Moka all the time, which means Mika Moka, who is like you, Yehovah. But when you say it in Hebrew, you don't say it how we say it in English. So who is like Yehovah among the mighty? Ba'alim is the mighty, in the mighty. Ba'in, or in the, Elim, mighty, or raised up ones, when we think about it in Hebrew. So Mika Moka Ba'alim Yehovah comes from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, which means, who is like you, Yehovah, among the mighty? So why did they choose a verse from the song out of the sea, the song of the sea out of Shemot or Exodus, as the basis for his identity? Well, this song is a song of praise. It celebrates the defeat of the mighty Egyptian army during the crossing of the Sea of Suf, or the Red Sea. And it's a perfect example of the weak overcoming the strong. But even more than this, the song makes an explicit reference to the temple in Jerusalem, where it says in Shemot 15 and verse 17, "You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain which is your heritage, the place, Yehovah, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, Yehovah, which your hands established." Now, Jerusalem itself is Mount Zion, or Mount Moriah, same name, same place, Mount Moriah, where Yitzhak was to be killed, where Moshe met with Yehovah before he went back to Egypt to rescue his people. Now, it says it's the place where Yehovah's placed his name. It's also between three valleys, which form the letter Shin, the Kidron Valley and the three valleys, and it's in between. It's on the two, on the top of the, between the two. And the Shin is also, means the name. Hashem is the name. And that's why they call it where he placed his name, because the Shin, the way the land is laid, it looks like a shin to represent the name. That's why Jerusalem is so important. In their battles against the Syrians, the Maccabees drew inspiration from the mythical story of the Exodus, looking towards the day when Yah would plant them on his holy mountain. Judah called on his followers to cleanse the second temple, rebuild its altar, and light its menorah, the golden candelabra, whose seven branches represented knowledge and creation, and were meant to be kept burning every night. The menorah was relit exactly 4 years after it was desecrated on the 25th of Kislev, 164 BCE. Then the Hanukkah miracle began. Now, this is according to Talmud. Talmud is the book that the Orthodox Jewish people follow. They've got two Talmud. They've got more than one Talmud. And if you've ever been to a library and looked for the Talmud, you'd find that there are very large books, about that wide, about that high, and about that wide, and they just stretch right along the wall. They go forever looking at the Talmud, how they can take you 100 years to get through it. But the Talmud is the Torah, the Mishnah, and the Gemara. And it's what Orthodox Judaism follows as their scriptures. So we don't follow Talmud at all. We only follow the word of Yah. But according to the Talmud, and this is where they get all their traditions, this the Orthodox Jews get all their traditions from, and it was mainly written in Babylon when they couldn't have Torah. There's Jerusalem Talmud and there's the Babylonian Talmud. One of Judaism's most central texts, the Judah Maccabee, and other Jews took part in the rededication of the Second Temple, witnessed that they believed what they believed to be a miracle. Even though there was only enough untainted oil, or olive oil, to keep the menorah candles burning for one single day, the flames continued flickering for 8 nights, leaving them time to make fresh supply. Now, this wondrous event inspired the Jewish sages to proclaim a yearly 8-day festival. The first book of the Maccabees tells another version of the story, describing an 8-day celebration that followed the rededication, but making no reference to the miracle of oil. So you've got two different versions coming out of two different Talmuds. Other interpretations of the Hanukkah story, some modern historians offer a radically different interpretation of the Hanukkah tale. In their view, Jerusalem under Antiochus IV had erupted into civil war between two camps of Jews who had assimilated into the dominant culture and surrounded them, adopting Greek and Syrian customs. And those who were determined to impose Jewish laws and traditions even by force. The traditionalists won out in the end, but the Hasmonean dynasty led by Judah Maccabee's brothers and his descendants, wrestling control of the land of Israel from the Syrians and maintaining an independent Jewish kingdom for more than a century. Jewish scholars have also suggested that the first Hanukkah may have been a belated Sukkot, which the Jews had not had the chance to observe during the Maccabean revolt. So one of the Yehovah's most important festivals is Sukkot, and it consists of 7 days of feasting, prayer and festivals. So as we have two different books telling two different stories, historians saying something else again, it's actually difficult to say what is actually true. But what we do know, it was a time when Yeshua went to the temple. Can we go to Yochanan 10:22, please? And it says, but it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple of the porch of Shlomo. So we know Yeshua went to the temple there. That's the only thing that we know for sure. Hanukkah celebration revolves around the kindling of the 9-candle Hanukkiah or menorah, and each of the on it, with a different candle lit on each of the nights. So on the first night, you will don't know these won't stand up. I know that for sure. Can you see that? You can't. No, I can't hold it. I can't hold it up and do it at the same time. On the first night, you light, which you should have lit, 1. And the second night, 2. And the third night, 3. And so it just goes on each night. So you'll have, you're getting it to light that. So each night you're lighting more candles. Okay, but mine won't stand up unless I've burnt them in. It's a beautiful Hanukkah, but you can't get the candles to go with it. They don't make candles to match Hanukkahs. Can you get that up, honey? They won't stay in. But each night, you're just going to add an extra candle. As I said, they don't stay there. But it is, and it's beautiful to on the final night to have them all lit. So you only light all of them on the one night. And when I buy these candles from Israel, and you've got enough candles in here to do the whole lot each night. So if you lit every candle every night, you wouldn't have enough candles. Can I say specifically, don't use the prayer that's on the back of here to light the candles. That's traditionally Jewish. And the prayer tells you that Yehovah's mitzvot and commanded us to kindle the lights of Hanukkah. That is not a mitzvot of Yehovah. You've never been commanded in Torah to light Hanukkah candles. Okay? So that's why I say don't say the prayer that's on the back. You say your own prayers. You do your own thing. You've got a relationship with Yehovah that probably a lot of people that light these candles don't have. So it's a time when we light our candles each night. And the Hebrews recite a lot of prayers that are written in the Talmud that have got nothing to do with Yehovah's word, especially when it comes to being commanded to light the candlelights. I've been guilty of doing it in the early days, but until Yehovah showed me, hey, that's not a mitzvot. So it's better to just bless and praise Yah. Another allusion to the Hanukkah miracle tradition focuses on food. And most food, they talk about fried food fried in oil. So if you want to have potato chips on that night, go for it. Potato pancakes or ladkas, as they're called, are a very traditional food. And I often make cheese ladkas as well. They're a bit more nourishing than the potato ones. And you serve them with the potato ladkas with sour cream, and with the cheese ladkas with pureed apple puree, which is quite nice. Now, there's different traditions whether you're an Ashkenazi Jew or whether you're a Sephardic Jew. So Ashkenazi Jews will have the ladkas, and I'm Ashkenazi. We always had ladkas when I was growing up. I always learned how to make ladkas and do the ladkas. Where the Sephardic Jews use sufganiyot. Sufganiyot are the jam donuts. You see those large donuts with the jam in the centre? That's a sufganiyot. They're also deep fried. So it's all very fattening food. So, but if it's what you enjoy, go for it. It's also a time of giving tzedakah. Hence, you've all got here when you come out today, you've all got some gold gelt to have. And it's something that I gave the children, a whole packet each. And gelt to me, although it's just chocolate, and they're chocolate coins, and these are Australian coins, they're a symbol. Gelt is Yiddish for gold. And the gelt is a way of wishing people prosperity. And because everyone wants to be prosperous in their life, we want to be prosperous spiritually as well as financially. We don't need more, so we're worried about people going to steal what we've got, but we need enough that we don't have to steal. And so if you've got enough that you don't have to steal, you're prosperous. If you've got more than one book in your house, you're one of the 10 most prosperous people in the world. Let alone having 20-odd Bibles or whatever that most of us have got over the years. So that was what I used to get at Hanukkah when I was a child. And we were very content with all of that. Children today aren't so content if you gave them that for their Christmas, I don't think. But, you know, the world has changed, and therefore a lot of Jewish people have changed too, and they now give presents at Hanukkah to match with the Christmas season, which has become very commercialised. Dreidels, and I'm sorry, please forgive me, I left my dreidel behind, but it was a fun game that we used to play when we were kids. It's like a top, but it's got the four sides that have four letters, four Hebrew letters, Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin. The Nun stands for Nez, the G stands for Gadol, the Hey stands for Hayah, and the Shin starts for Sham. And it means a great miracle happened there. And so we played it using... We wouldn't use our gelt. We would get apricot seeds, and we'd use apricot seeds to put in the middle, and you'd roll your gelt you rolled your dreidel, and you'd get points or you'd lose points, and it was just like a fun game that you'd play around the place. And I'm sure the children are in there playing dreidels today. So if the gimel, if the nun lands upwards, nothing happens. There's no points. If the gimel lands upwards, the player wins 10 points or 10 coins or 10 apricot seeds. If the hay lands upwards, the player gets 5 apricot seeds, or half what is in the centre, because everyone puts something in the centre to start with. But if the shin lands up, well, then they lose 5 points or 5 apricot seeds. Because in Australia in summer we have apricots at this time of year, they were the best things to chew. Have an apricot and let the seed dry, and it was easy to play with. So in recent decades, particularly in the Western world, Hanukkah has exploded into a major commercial phenomenon, largely because it overlaps with Christmas, and from a religious perspective, however, it still remains a minor holiday that places no restriction in working or attending work or school or whatever, but although our schools close down because it's our summer in Israel, I think they do close down for the week as their midwinter break, but people continue working and it's not a holiday time like it is over here. In the modern era, the festive season is centred on a lie of a mystical person called Santa Claus. And the world is being placed into a position of spending money that most people do not have, or putting others on guilt trips because they cannot afford to give their children what the children are asking for. And it's a time when advertisements and everything just bombard us. It's also a time where parties are held and people are overindulging. People are driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and many people, particularly the young, are being killed senselessly in motor vehicles because of a stupid, silly season. And I think that we have to realise that this is a pagan festival. Christmas is a festival that is mounted on a lie. Santa Claus has been made the reason for the season. And I vehemently hate that person. I'm sorry, I do. It's the only thing I hate. I used to teach in a Christian school for 15 years. The last day of the school year, children had free dress, and most of them wore their Santa Claus hats, or even what used to really get to me was we had a chaplain at the school at one stage, a woman, who'd come dressed as Mary Christmas, M-A-R-Y Christmas. And she'd have this dress on with white cotton wool all around the edges and what have you, and I'm thinking, why? My spirit would grieve. Literally grieve. I would hate going to school on the last day of school. Because all they were thinking about was Santa Claus and not the reason for the season. Yes, Christians do celebrate the birth of Yeshua. We dedicate our lives to Yeshua, and we celebrate his birth at Sukkot, when he was actually born. Yeshua was conceived at Hanukkah and born at Sukkot. And I think the worst part about this lie of Santa Claus is that you then have to tell your children, I've been lying to you all these years. I've got two grandchildren whose bubble's going to get burst one of these days, and I'm not going to burst it. It's not my job. But when I asked their mother if the children believe in Santa Claus, I said, well, when are you going to tell them the truth? She says, oh, they'll learn it from school or somewhere. You know, it's because their mother hasn't been brought up in a, you know, in any circles, whether it's Christian, Jewish or whatever. And so, being the grandmother, I have to learn to bite my tongue and love my grandchildren for who they are. My daughter-in-law is beautiful, but they have different beliefs. And so we have to live in this world. And we have to be the light in this world. So we have to be careful that we don't put on them our own things. and let them see how we live and let them change through Yah doing it or not us forcing it. And that's the most important thing to me. So to me, this is a reason where we can shine the light of Yeshua to those who participate in this lie or to those who need it at this time, so need it at the time so their guilt can be relieved and their peace restored. We can tell them the Hanukkah story and let them know the truth of Yeshua, who is the light of the world. We don't tell them that he was born at this time, as I said, although he was conceived around this time. But we can tell them that he is our example of a servant who not only gave his life for us, but taught us how to live by biblical principles. We can tell them how we don't remember him on one day, but as we light our candles each night on the 8 nights of this festival, we rededicate our lives to him and obedience to his commands. We can tell them how each night we remember a miracle that he performed in our lives and give thanks for it. We must be careful not to do it in pride or to bring condemnation on others, but to do it in a way that will bring a true understanding of scriptures and not the traditions of man. So I'd like Malachi now to play the Hanukkah dedication prayer for us. And so if we could have that now. Yes, please. And then we'll go into our remembrance service.
Make my life your temple, Lord, at this season's start, to pull down every idol I have raised up in my heart. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. Take my defiled altar, come and cleanse and come repair. So every time I falter, I can run to meet you there. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night, comes a prayer you'd kindle in me, Yeshua, a desire for your fire, for your light. Oh, make of my mortal body a house worthy of your name. Rid me of what's ungodly and every hidden thing of shame. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to you. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night, sign of desire for your fire, for your light. Take my supply of oil, not enough to burn long, I fear. But oh, how I pray I may one day say a great miracle happened here on this Chanukah, on this feast of dedication. I dedicate myself to you, my Yeshua, I dedicate myself.